Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Parents Tool Talk Radio with your host, Jody Johnston Powell, licensed social worker, certified family life educator, second generation parent educator, and author of the award-winning book, The Parents Tool Shop, the universal blueprint for building a healthy family. For over 25 years, Jody has been training parents and family service professionals nationwide and serving as a parenting expert to the media worldwide. Now, through the Parents Tool Talk radio show and teleseminar series, Jody shares her practical advice and introduces you to other experts who can give you proven effective advice on the issues that matter most to parents. So get ready to be informed, entertained, and enlightened as we join Jody now.
Hello, and welcome to Parents Tool Talk Radio. I'm so glad you've joined us today. I'm Jody Johnston Powell, author of The Parents Tool Shop, and I'm your host at Parents Tool Talk Radio. This month, we are going to be reaching out to parents of older teens and adult children with support for both the joys and the challenges that we parents face. And before we get started, I do want to do a couple quick reminders. First is for any foster parents that want to check in at the beginning and end of the show today to qualify for continuing education credits, just call in or use our chat room. Just go to parentstooltalk.com and there's directions for doing both. And now let me introduce our guest experts for today. We have Krishna Nandini Devidasi and Tariq Saleem Ziad. And Krishna and Tariq are co-directors of the Dazi Ziad Family Institute in Cleveland, Ohio. They're a husband and wife team who are dedicated to strengthening families, couples, and individuals with healthy relationship skills based on universal principles. They have created or implemented a number of healthy skill-building curricula, courses, and workshops, including the following. The Young Pioneer Project, which is a multidisciplinary character and leadership building project for youths ages 5 through 18. From Couple to Couple, a 3-day comprehensive mentor couple marriage educator training course. The Phoenix Project, which is an interpersonal relationship skill building course for ex-offenders and their partners. Better Together, a nationally recognized relationship program. Parenting for the 21st Century, which empowers a variety of caregivers with tried and true parenting tools, techniques, and principles, and SELF, S-E-L-F, Singles Evaluating Life and Family, a healthy relationship course that offers a comprehensive interactive course for singles to prepare for healthy relationships in all spheres of their life. Krishna Nandini holds degrees in education and psychology, and Tariq has degrees in business and psychology. Both are fellow CFLEs, certified family life educators like me, and they are also certified family wellness instructors, prepare enrich administrators, members of the National Council on Family Relations, and co-authors of several magazines and newspaper articles about healthy families, parenting, relationships, and marriage. Krishna Nandini and Tariq are also featured in the book Cleveland Couples, 40 Inspiring Stories of Love and Commitment by Kathy Dawson. Together, they have 19 children, with Krishna Nandini being biological mother to 10 of them, which I think is enough to keep them serving families for a long time to come. So Krishna Nandini and Tariq, thank you so much for being on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you, Jody, for having us. It's our pleasure.
Pleasant afternoon. We're certainly glad to be here.
Well, good. Well, I'll tell you, we've already gotten some advanced questions. This topic seems to be stirring up a lot of interest. So before we dive into our discussion, I do want to tell listeners how they can call in live because we are going to be taking questions around 20 and 40 minutes after the call. So if anybody wants to call in with a question and you haven't called in already, the number to call is 347-205-9654. That's 347-205-9654, and just press the 1 button to raise your hand and get into the call queue. You can also go to the Parents Tool Talk chat room during the interview, and my producer, Chris Gooley, will take your question and pass it on. So just go to parentstooltalk.com and click the chat button near the player. And I'll give you those instructions again right before we start taking calls around 20 after. But I'm anxious and excited to get into our conversations with Tariq and Krishna Nandini, who I sometimes may shorten and call Krishna. Our topic today is parenting your teen and older child. So we do have a lot to say on the topic. Everybody ready to dive in?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, we got a question that was submitted just a day or so ago in advance, and I'd actually like to start off the show by reading it because it perfectly illustrated the three segments of the questions that we had kind of talked about covering today. So let me read the letter first. Says, Dear Jody, this broadcast on Friday is of personal interest to me since we have a 25-year-old daughter who has not left the nest. My question is, with the economy as it is and the cost of living in our area so high, what advice do you have for parenting an adult child who has never left home? We find that she, of course, wants independence without being totally independent. I particularly want this time of our life to be more relaxed and free from concern about her day-to-day life. Any advice on reasonable expectations for any of us? By the way, she works full-time, but not enough to live on her own and does have some health problems. I'll be listening on Friday. Thanks. So as you can see, I always get together with the guests before we talk just to kind of outline the key points that we really, not the answers they're going to give, mind you. I don't get to hear those yet. I get to hear those with the rest of you. But I did talk with Krishna and Tariq about what we might want to talk about. And the three things we really wanted to cover in our three segments today, one of them is some of the normal feelings that parents and young adults have during the transition to adulthood. And I think this mom really illustrates for many of us some of the conflicting feelings that we have. Also, some of the special challenges that parents and young adults can face if their adult children have health or mental health or drug abuse or legal issues, which we'll cover in the second segment. And then the last segment on how today's economy is affecting young adults' ability to leave the nest or cause them to return home. So let's dive into kind of our first segment on the first topic. And what I'd like for you to do, if you could, is to kind of lay the foundation for us. Help us get in touch with developmentally what's going on with our children as they start to make this transition into adulthood. Can you give us some insights into that?
Well, one of the things with the young people, early on they start getting the feeling that they want to be independent of, you know, mom and dad, and so they want to practice making decisions on their own. And sometimes that conflicts with just still remaining being a child. So it's like when the teenagers get like 13 or 14, you begin to feel and sense this, and it causes some conflicts in the family. But it's just normal. It's just them starting to spread their wings. So the parents need to get together and prepare for this by knowing that together they're going to be working with their teenagers, slowly trying to become independent. And they should keep that in mind, that you want to work with your child as like a disciple. In that word, discipline. Discipline doesn't necessarily mean punishment and you did something wrong, but disciple, you're a disciple, you're learning, we're trying to teach, trying to educate, trying to guide you so that you can be independent one day and perhaps assist your children to come along.
And I'd like to add, Jody, that in this time period, this transition is a tremendous time fraught with anxiety and confusion and bewilderment on the part of the children as well as the parent. It's a time when there are major transformations taking place, when we are preparing our children to more or less leave the nest, or if they stay in our homes as an adult, then the rules change. And some of the markers for how this development is taking place is when the children become more responsible for their own. They get jobs. They get in long-term committed relationships. They attend a post-secondary school or vocational school. So there are many, many, they become eligible to vote, and they take up that duty or responsibility to vote. So some of these are developmentally what's going on during that time of transition.
Yeah, and I think between the two of you, you really alluded to the fact that this transition really starts early in the teen years, and I think we all sense that shift. And as they get to be older teens, even before they leave home, I think we're really feeling the shift in our relationship and how it's becoming less and less, you know, authority over a submissive person, you know, and becoming more of this adult to adult, which is a difficult transition. And then obviously once they leave home, or even once they are adults but still at home, I think you've also alluded to that, which is things change for both of us when that happens. So what are, would you say are maybe some skills or attitudes that we as parents need to keep in mind, not only to prepare them to leave the nest, you know, from a life skill standpoint, but in terms of our attitude? I think you've, you know, offered some suggestions, you know, already in terms of not getting too worried about that and that a lot of this is normal. Can you offer some maybe specific suggestions of some attitudes and skills that we would want to keep in mind to especially use during this time?
Well, Jody, in our little brochure that where we talk about tips for parenting older children, we list several keywords or phrases that we think all parents that are working with these transitioning young people should embrace. One is respect. That is respect on the side of the children, but also the parents. Healthy communication. It is so important that we talk to our children, but also hear from our children. Honesty. We need to let our children know that we were teenagers, we were young people, we had certain experiences, and honestly share some of the challenges that we experienced. We need to have patience, lots of it. My husband and I joke about the fact that if we could have a remote control to fast forward, you know, the teenage time, we might take advantage of that. But it just
yeah.
takes patience, you know, because you can't fast forward. You just got to go through it. Another thing is being non-judgmental. It is very, very difficult because these are our children, and we want the best for them, and we think we know. But they are individuals, and they grow up with their own choices and desires and things. So we have to really, really try to be non-judgmental in some of the things that they want to do and see.
Tyreek,
You want to pose questions to them periodically as they're growing up. For example, I have a 17-year-old who's getting ready to go into. We have a 17-year-old. I did not do this by myself. he's getting ready to go to New York University in the fall. And last night I came in, he had three young men with him, his friends. So I posed the question as I was coming in the house, what are the goals that you all have for yourselves that you would want to accomplish as a group? And I came back and they gave some answers. So by me posing this, it gave them opportunity to think, and each one had a different answer, and it was very good. One of them is that they would stay together forever, so they would keep close contact. They would be mindful of the other's personal goals. And so these were two of the four questions off the top of my head. I can't remember the other two now. But the thing is, an adult posing questions to the young adult so they can think about the future as to what is my future going to look like where it comes to my friends or my personal goals, some of the things I want to accomplish with finally getting married, what age, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I always like to take teaching moments, and this for our listeners, this is a teaching moment. What Tyreek is talking about is that skill that I know I teach in the Parents Tool Shop of asking questions to get others to think about answers on their own. And I think this is an age with teenagers and young adults where if we have always been lecturing and telling them what they should believe and should think and should do, this is a time where that doesn't work anymore. So we really want to be using that skill all the time. But this is a time of life where young adults really are thinking about those things. And so asking questions that really get them to think things through without us lecturing is very important. And if I can comment also on something that Krishna Nandini had said just a few minutes ago about just kind of the ups and downs, you know, that if we'd like to fast forward through it. I think a lot of times parents get worried when they see their kids trying on identities or trying on behaviors or seemingly turning away from family values. And there's a lot of ups and downs, but they're usually in this phase, I think, and you can verify this since you're the experts, I think a lot of those are fairly temporary. And I think a lot of times parents worry that what they see on one day is how their child will turn out as an adult. And I think a lot of times they're temporary. Almost like putting on masks, you know, kind of trying on identities and trying on behaviors. And most of the time, they don't last. Now, obviously, if we're going to talk about, you know, when some of those trying on things like drugs or things like that can become problems. We're going to talk about that later. But we're talking about just kind of the normal developmental phase here. I think it's very normal to have a lot of ups and downs and sometimes worry about whether or not are they going to turn out okay.
Jody, I absolutely agree with you and think it's so important that parents don't become overwhelmed and think, oh, my child is a drug addict or my child is a loose person, because so many times our young people are going to try things out. And I love the way you say about trying on this mask. And one of the things that we've learned, being the parents of 19 children and working with hundreds more young people, is that you're right, this too shall pass. Much of the things that they go through are not permanent. And one of the things that we as parents do is give that foundation, that strong foundation that they can draw from and build on when they are going through these various experiences. And just having, there's a book that I love the title. It's called How to Talk So Your Children Will Listen and How to Listen So Your Children Can Talk. A lot of us.
Yes, by Adele Faber and that's by Adele Faber and Elaine Maslisch. That's one of the books that I cite in my book that I reference quite frequently and highly recommend.
Yes.
Good. We have about 5 minutes or 4 minutes actually, and I actually see that we do have some callers that have questions today. Let me ask one last question on this kind of foundation building segment here. Usually when our kids grow up, they'll generally make one of the choices for leaving the nest. They're going to college or going to work. How do those two different paths differ in terms of either the young adult development or in terms of our involvement and how that might affect us as parents?
I'm not sure I quite understood the question.
A lot of times children will usually leave the nest either by going to college or by going out into the workforce.
Yes.
So how might the difference choice, how might the development differ at all in terms of what they might experience or what our experience might be raising them? Does it matter if they go to college or go into the workforce?
Oh, okay.
Hi, Jody, let me jump in here for just a second. Actually, we're having some breaking up on your phone line there. So actually, tell you what, how about I'll go ahead and repeat this question?
Okay.
Just to make sure that it gets heard clearly. That might be good, Jody, because we are having a little bit of trouble. Yeah, let's try that.
I'll mute out my mic.
And while Jody is switching lines, I'll go ahead and read the question as we had it written here in front of us. Usually when our kids grow up, they make basically one of two choices. They either go to college or they go to work. And how does that decision, Krishna and Tariq, affect young adults' development? Do you have something you can say to that?
Well, number one, it's going to affect economic-wise and possibly health-wise, too, because when you take the steps of going to college as a priority over having a work history right after school, your chances of earning a higher income and then being in a better position to look out for your health is going to fall into play there.
And
I was going to say also, the working, you want to encourage as much work or even entrepreneurship thinking in the young before they graduate from high school. We used to go and buy products inexpensively and just encourage our children to sell them on a table in front of the house or whatnot, so they can be thinking in terms of being entrepreneur-minded. And so they would be getting experiences that way and getting money.
And also, just to add, that according to research that's done by the Annie E. Casey Foundation, higher education for young people is one of the most reliable predictors of employment, with higher wages and with opportunities for advancement, as well as being predictors of much better outcomes with health. So for the young people to choose the college option or the vocational school option for further training is usually a good predictor for improved outcomes. But there's also another phenomenon that we're seeing more and more lately, which is termed by some of the social scientists as disconnectedness. These are young people who can't find employment, who are not going to school as well. And that element of youth is somewhat increasing, and we as family educators are giving a lot of thought and consideration to that.
That sounds good. So I appreciate
Excellent. Sorry there. I actually didn't mean to say that out loud, Jody. I was just happy to hear that you're back in on the other line.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, can hear you
good.
Just fine.
And I was able to hear everyone, so I don't think I missed anything. I was slightly distracted for a few seconds there switching phones, but I heard, and I appreciate the research, and I also appreciate the fact that you've included kind of a group that I didn't in terms of the question, which are those kids that are disconnected and almost can't do either.
Yes.
You know, college or work. So there is hope for all, and I also think we're going to be coming back towards the end, too. I think we're going to revisit some of the economic issues that young adults are facing today, I think on the back end also. Now, Chris, can you hear me okay? Do you still want me to do some of the station break announcements, or would you like to do those?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, then I can go
ahead.
Yeah,
I think we can all hear you just fine. Is that right, Krishna and Tariq?
Yes, certainly.
Okay, good.
Well, we are at about 20 after or so, and we've already covered some very valuable topics. So I'd really like to thank Krishna and Nandini and Tariq again for being here to provide us with all this valuable information. Let me do a quick station break and welcome anybody who may have just joined the show. This is Parents Tool Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Jody Johnston-Powell of the Parents Tool Shop. Today we are talking with Krishna Nandini, Devi Dazi, and Tariq Saleem Ziad, who are co-directors of the Dazi Ziad Family Institute in Cleveland, Ohio, on the topic of parenting your older teen and adult children. So we are going to open up the phone line here at this point and take our first round of questions. So we'd like to invite our callers to think about the questions that we've already covered so far, a lot around development. Again, if you want to call in, you can call in your question to 347-205-9654. You'll hear a short prompt, and if you have a question, you can hit the one key on your phone pad, and we'll know that you've got a question. And if you're in the chat room, now's the time to submit your questions there, and my producer, Chris Gooley, will be monitoring that so that we can see if we have any questions in there also. So, Chris, do you want to check on callers? And I can just real quickly while you're doing that, let people know that where they can sign up for our mailing list so that they can get every month's show. We always do bonus resources at the end of the show. We'll be telling you about that at our next break. We also have resources from our guests as well as from Parents Tool Shop. We've always got directions on how to download the show and subscribe to RSS feed and all that stuff that Chris is so wonderful at explaining in plain and simple English for the rest of the world to follow. So if you would like to sign up for our list so that you can find out every month what we're going to be doing and getting all the bonus resources and discounts, just go to parentstooltalk.com/list. So that's parentstooltalk, all one word, .com/list. And your information is private. I will absolutely never sell that information to anyone. So please feel free to sign up for that so that we can stay in touch. So, Chris, it looks like we do have some callers. Is that true or not?
Hi, Jody. Actually, we had a caller. He was very excited, but he actually had to go.
Oh, we didn't get to him fast enough.
He could not get to him quite fast enough. He was actually a forensic psychologist, wanted to offer some advice as well on communication skills and alternatives to them, but he actually had clients that he had to go to. So
okay.
I'm afraid that he had to sneak off.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
But we do have a number of... Yeah. We do have, though, a number of people in the chat rooms just happily listening.
Okay.
And so I would say you and Krishna and Tariq can go ahead and continue.
Okay. I should have saved those announcements. We could have gotten to him sooner. So, okay. Well, hopefully he'll have an opportunity to call back or reconnect. All right. Well, we will check in again at about 40 minutes after the hour. I know that Krishna Nandini and Tariq still have some really valuable information to share, so let's get back to them. So let's see. So far we have talked about what's happening developmentally when our children start to become adults, how that transition might be different when children go to work as opposed to school, and how our relationships with our children change during this time and what skills we need to have. So, you know, I know that there's a lot of parents out there that do have children with special needs or mental health issues, or maybe their older teens and young adults now are getting more into problems with maybe drugs or the law. And while these actually can be fairly common problems in making that transition to adulthood, I think the problem or the challenge that I see and the most heartbreaking stories that I hear when I'm coaching parents or just even talking with friends are parents whose young adults are over 18, so legally they don't have the kind of control that parents have when their minor children might be getting into trouble, to either take them to a doctor, have them get treatment, make them take medication, get them into rehab. These are all things that a lot of times are voluntary, maybe unless they're actually endangering other people, in which case maybe that isn't the case. But the most heartbreaking stories that I hear are these parents that feel like they're having to sit by and just watch their older children destroy their lives, and they feel that they have no control or and can't influence that. So I guess I'd like, you know, as much as we can, I don't think we can solve any of those problems, you know, in a 15-minute segment on a radio show. But what are some suggestions that you might have? You know, let's kind of start with folks who have adult children who might have mental health or drug abuse issues, where maybe they would like for their adult children to get into treatment, but they can't really make them. What are some suggestions that you might have for those parents?
Well, one of the things that we would say, Jody, is to make sure that you use the advantage in a safe way. For example, if your child is living with you and they have some issues with mental issues or drug abuse issues, then you, as a parent, have a right to sit down and have a conversation with them and let them know, particularly if they're living in your house, that you love them, you want to support them. But if they're going to stay with you, that your request is that they get some help. Now, this sometimes parents are afraid to do because they think it may alienate, but often this will take you right to the core. And bear in mind that help for people with mental issues or with drug abuse issues is a holistic. The holistic approach is best. That is medication, treatment, therapy, and support. So it's really four categories that all need attention. Medication is one, therapy is another, the social support, and the lifestyle changes. Like sometimes diet and sometimes different
behaviors. That's huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I should say those four things again. Medication, therapy, lifestyle changes, and the support of family and friends.
And the support, there are support groups and support contact where, you know, you can go to, like, we have a free clinic here in Cleveland, and they have a list of support groups. So you can go to a place like that and say, do you have a list of support groups and for mental illness? And they have, I think I noticed they had about 15 support groups in that list. So do that. Just inquire around about support groups for parents and other people who are working with relatives that may have these particular issues.
Okay. And that's a good suggestion, because my next question along those lines was, you know, so because at first I thought you were talking about the support groups for the patient, which whether it's support groups or medication, you know, what if the young adult either isn't at home, so we don't kind of have that bit of leverage. And first of all, let me back up and just say that I love the way that you worded that, Krishna Nandini, because the way that I always appreciate when people give us specific statements to use instead of just saying something general and we got to figure it out. But the way that you said that was so loving and so supportive. It wasn't an ultimatum and it wasn't a threat. And I think if we are going to get through to our young adults, that we need to be coming from a position of love and support. Firmness, yes, but from love and support. And so if we do attempt to take that approach and say either our young adult isn't willing to get involved in the treatment that would be recommended, or they're out of our home, so we don't really have that leverage, any suggestions beyond
yes.
that?
Well, one is a concept that most people have heard of. It's called intervention. That's when you call on other family members, perhaps a minister, perhaps concerned, anybody in your family, other adults, siblings, and you somewhat confront your young adult. And this can be emotional, and it can be quite an emotional experience, but in many cases it works, that the family comes together and, again, you know, identifies the love and concern, but lets the young adult know how much their behavior is causing pain and suffering to the family. It's called intervention, and it's really recommending, again, that they seek help. And so that's one option, as well as what my husband said, for the parents to seek support groups.
Yeah. And again, I think if that can be from a standpoint of love and support, that we love you, you know, we don't want to see you, you know, either get into trouble or throw your life away or, you know, become addicted. You know, it's not just that we're trying to control your life.
Exactly.
Because I think it can be emotional. I think the fact, you know, nobody likes conflict and nobody likes confrontation. But I think there come times where a serious problem, such as maybe drug abuse, or maybe possibly even legal issues, you know, if they're maybe drug dealing or something like that, where parents can often be afraid to have that kind of a confrontation. They're afraid that it might make things worse.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I think parents also hit rock bottom. We often hear about addicts hitting rock bottom before they change.
Yes.
I think there comes a point where if the alternative is that our child could spend the rest of their life in jail, or that they
mm-hmm.
could die from a drug overdose, or
mm-hmm.
that they could end up homeless because they're not on medication, that it really is almost a life or death issue, and parents need to be willing to experience discomfort and come from that position of love and support to try to get help for their kids.
Yes, yes.
And try to get at least one small behavioral change periodically to move toward the ultimate goal. And then rather than try to solve the problem all at once,
oh, I love that.
Just say, well, this is what the next behavior I need you to work on. You know,
could
describe
you just,
what it looks like.
Oh, I like that. So could you just make this one step? Could you just take this one baby step?
Yes.
Like, you don't have to quit. You know, say it's a drug addiction. You don't have to quit cold turkey. If you could just take this step.
Yes.
Wonderful suggestion. Good. Let me shift gears a little bit and take, because I think a lot of those behaviors, although not so much the mental health issues, I think that leads us, kind of carries us into when children have physical health issues. I know that my cousin was born with cerebral palsy, and she's now in her mid-40s. So she's almost always lived at home, especially she was in a facility for a very short period of time and was abused, so she came right back home. My aunt and uncle have almost always cared for her, and they do try to get caretakers, but of course it's become much more difficult as they age. What suggestions do you have for parents of adult children with special needs who maybe their child might never leave home, or if so, there's always going to be some level of caregiving for them?
That is an excellent question, Jody, because actually there are more and more parents dealing with that phenomenon. And one of the things that we suggest is to try as much as you can to find, again, support systems in your community, whether it's an agency that offers help to people with disabilities, or whether it's a church, or whether you find support systems within your community, because sometimes you'll have people who volunteer to give you maybe a day or half a day that they would do some of the caretaking in your stead.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And again, finding other parents in a support group who have these issues so that they can share some of the things that have worked with them.
And don't be afraid to ask family members that I need help. And, well, we need help if it's a couple with a child. And here's some of the things that you could do to assist us. Sometimes just to come and spend time with the family, interacting with the child
mm-hmm.
in a wholesome manner,
yeah.
Rather than avoid the family because they have this child that has this physical impairment, come around and interact with that child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's not always even respite. That can also be a form of respite, even if the parents are still there.
Yes.
It just, it's not all on them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's the main thing when they feel, you know, the total responsibility of the child.
Right.
We have someone in our family who's who's blind, and one of the ways that that has worked is that they have reached out to family members to just come and be present in the home, even if the parents don't leave, but just to interact. And you know, what that has encouraged, Jody, is that people find out that this person is has much to offer, you know, besides just the disability.
Yes, yes. And I know in my cousin's case, she has she has cognitive limitations. So any break in the routine, you know, if she doesn't see her brother every week, she doesn't really understand. So there's a lot of things around routine and consistency that are very important, but as a result, parents sometimes don't get a break.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Chris, let me check with Chris. I think I got a chat from Chris that said that we may have a caller. And
Hi,
I don't want to miss someone.
Have.
I don't want to miss someone again.
Right. We have one person in particular who called in just after our 20-minute break where we check for callers.
Okay.
So I wanted to get this person in. It might be on a topic that we've covered one or two questions ago, but I wanted
okay.
to let them in. So this is the caller with phone number ending in 9333. Welcome to the show. Tell us your name and do you have a question?
Good morning. This is Lynn from Florida. And I dialed in late, so I don't know if you may have dealt with my question, which I sent in via email as well. And this is really off your topic. I apologize. It's not of a serious nature in the sense of a disability, but in this economy, we have so many adult children that are not able to move out on their own due to employment, underemployment, or the cost of living. Do your experts have any advice on forging an adult relationship within the home when the adult child has never moved out on their own? I find as a older parent, I'm ready for not being concerned on the day-to-day basis of their life. They need to be independent, and yet we're all part of the same nuclear family still living together. It makes it very hard to adjust when they don't leave and then even come back, but they've never left. Do you have advice on that?
Yeah. And let's go there. And just to let Lynn know, we read your question at the top of the hour, and it was
oh, dear.
So perfect because it really tapped into the three kind of main segments that we wanted to cover. So some parts of it we covered in the beginning around development and, you know, some of the skills and things that we can do with adults. And then we were just talking a little bit more about challenges. And the next section we were getting ready to move into, so let's go ahead and go there with this question from Lynn, is around economic issues. And I think children moving out on their own is always an issue and a challenge, but in today's economy, I think it's been particularly challenging. So whichever of you would like to take Lynn's question.
Okay. If I might start here. Lynn, you know, as you know, in real estate, they say location, location, location. So in the parenting of young adults who either are stayed at home or left home and came back, which is called the boomerang children, by the way, clarity, I would say, is what you need. To sit down with your young adults and negotiate what you see as acceptable. Just I have real honest conversation and be very specific, like what guests would be allowed in the house, what language, how do you want them to respect your religion if you have any or theirs, just the idea of respect, because sometimes the young people that are at home they may feel that they're equal with the parents, but just to get very, very clear on what is expected from them and from you. And to actually come up with a rent or some kind of contribution that your young adult can make to the family. I think I heard you say that she works but doesn't make enough to live on her own. But no matter, she should feel responsible as an adult for the added expense that you have for her living there. And Tariq, I don't know if you wanted to add something to that, honey.
Well, the thing about having understanding is so important, because now this is an adult age, and also should be up to where they would be willing to accept responsibilities if they were out. Well, then to let them know there are also responsibilities now that you have to almost act as though, in some respects, I am your landlord. And that's hard to say when you're a family. But now that you are an adult and you are earning some money, it takes money to take care of the house. So we're expecting you to take a percentage of that, and it's to be on a regular basis. And then it should start increasing slightly so that you can get on your own. However, in this economy, it may be more and more young people coming back to the more established home, because we do have some economic concerns out here. But now that we have the economic concerns and want to bring family members and support them, they have to also support us being able to do that.
Exactly.
By knowing that there's some basic boundaries that I would have, because I'm not the man or woman of the house. This is my mom's house, my dad's house, and so therefore I must respect this a certain way. All that should be clear, like Chris Nardini was saying, clarify, have the clarity.
And one more thing, Jody, we would add, to actually put these things in writing, to have a commitment and agreement that your young adult signs. We know this from experience, that what expected behavior, rent, and that kind of thing, to actually put it in writing and have them to sign their signature as well as yours.
And this, if they're using your car, then they must understand that the insurance, the car upkeep, a certain percentage can be for that. If there's not a lot of money, it still can be proportioned so that the attention is given to what my responsibilities are as staying with my parents.
And if I can jump in here, what I'm hearing is that to whatever degree, with whatever resources the young adult has, of still encouraging them to contribute and to start getting into the practices and building the skills that they will need to be independent someday.
Exactly.
So even if they can't really afford to do it on their own, almost mirroring what that process and what those skills would be, but just on a smaller scale until maybe they can either finish their degree or get a better job or save up enough. And I know one, this isn't an option for every family, but for some families that would say, well, I don't really need for them to pay rent. It's not an issue of money. I don't need their money. Well, if that's the case, they could create a separate savings account for them, and then that would be some money that they could help the child out when they were going to become independent and live on their own. That would certainly be a choice within each family what they could afford, but it is an option rather than just saying, oh, no, we're going to, you know, continue supporting the child.
You don't want to make it too easy.
Too easy.
You don't want to make it too comfortable, because then the skills or the sense of responsibility won't be there, that I have a responsibility now to do more of taking care of myself than my parents does. But now I'm in this situation, I still must act like it, like you were saying, practice until it gets to where I can be out on my own. Mm-hmm. Don't make it too easy.
Yeah. Lynn, do you have other questions, or would you like to add anything?
I think all those suggestions are things that we've already dealt with, and that's working pretty well. I think it's on my part knowing, you know, when you live with someone in the family, you have to have a day-to-day relationship with them and their comings and goings, and it's not even any problems that exist in behavior or association. It's just you want to be cohesive as a family. How do you give independence and yet maintain that cohesiveness of family comfortableness of where people are and safety and all those kinds of things that a husband and wife do living in the same house, and yet I feel uncomfortable wanting to know where she is and where she, when she's coming back, and yet I'm uncomfortable not knowing it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Lynn, one of the things that we've encountered with some of our adult children, and this goes back to that concept of respect for the children, but also their respect for you. As an adult person, when I go visit any relative and stay a number of days, if I go anywhere out of respect, I tell my host where I'm going, maybe an approximate time to expect me back. That's adult behavior. So you can, you know, clarify that with your child, that part of being an adult is if you are staying with someone, or not because you're nosy or anything, but it's the respect that, you know, you can know where they are in general and then what time to generally expect them back. That's an item of respect.
Well, I appreciate that. That's exactly what I just wasn't sure if that was appropriate, and that confirms that it is, and I appreciate it.
And sharing with your daughter that the reason I have the concern is because of the love that I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're my daughter, and I love you a special way, and it's not trying to be nosy, or I just am concerned. There's so much going on out here where people, you know, so much goes on out into the world away from the home to where dangers are out there. So I'm just
mm-hmm.
concerned.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling in, Lynn. It was great to hear your voice.
Okay, Jody. Bye-bye.
And if I can just say on a curfew end of that, which is maybe slightly funny, but I can recall when my kids came home for college on breaks or they were over 18 and they'd be out with friends, we have dogs that go crazy when somebody comes home. So it was like, can you all please be home by 1 o'clock? Because if the dogs start barking at 3 in the morning, I'm not going to be happy because I can't get back to sleep. So, you know, anytime you're living in a family with each other, you do have to pay attention to being respectful of each other's needs.
Yes.
So, and my, you know, I really, you know, while yes, I would always tell them, you know, come home before 2 o'clock because that's when the bars close and the drunks are on the road. You know, I'd always give that little line. But, you know, aside from that, it was, you know, also just out of respect because I do tend to be a light sleeper and I couldn't get back to sleep. So, you know, you do. It's just a matter of whoever is living together, you do that out of respect for each other.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good suggestion. Well, let's take a break and do a couple of reminders to folks who actually, Krishna Nandini and Tariq have given us some resources that they're going to share with you. I know some of them they've referred to. They referred to a brochure earlier. There's some of the tips for helping kids through transitions. Let me tell you a little bit about those and how you can get those. And I'll first, Lynn was one person who called in late, so actually that reminds me. Let me just kind of tell anybody who's joined us after we had started. This is Parents Tool Talk Radio. I'm your host, Jody Johnston Powell of the Parents Tool Shop. Today we're talking with Krishna Nandini, Devi Dazi, and Tariq Saleem Ziad, who are co-directors of Dazi Ziad Family Institute in Cleveland. And we're talking about parenting your older teen and adult children. So, again, if I think our lines are open. If anybody does want, anybody has a question, you can call in at 347-205-9654 and hit the number 1 on your phone keypad to raise your hand, and also you can also use our chat room, which is at parentstooltalk.com. So let me real briefly just mention our resource for the month from Parents Tool Shop that we're featuring on the show is actually the Parents Tool Shop book. We feature various resources month to month, but I really wanted this to be the featured resource because I've had so many parents comment on how many of the practical teachings have not only helped them with their younger children, but improved their relationships with their adult children. So I often say that the book, I kind of categorize it as being for parents of children 1 through 18, but over and over again, countless parents have said that these skills are improving their relationships with their adult children and even their extended family, and I think we've made some of those connections on our call today. Chris, actually, if you wouldn't mind taking yourself off mute and tell our listeners about the resources that you've gotten set up. I know you've taken time to set those up, that Krishna Nandini and Tariq have offered our listeners. Can you come on and tell us how folks can get those?
Sure, Jody. Well, we have a total of 4 resources being brought to us by Krishna Nandini, Divi Dazi and Tariq Saleem Ziad. This is this first one is a free gift to listeners, and it's titled What Children Need. This is a chart depicting the physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual needs of children. This is an electronic resource. It's available online. I'll be giving you the link in just a little bit. Also, our guests are recommending two very low-cost ebooks, just $2 each. And the first is titled The Transition to Adulthood, which shares a personal journey of four young adults navigating their transition to adulthood, including what are the markers for adulthood, challenges, statistics, and how family and professionals can help. And the second ebook, same price, is titled 8 Tips for Parenting Adolescents and Teenagers. Also, Krishna and Tariq would like to recommend a booklet, and it's called The Booklet of Eights. This booklet contains tips, suggestions, qualities, rules, signs, and principles that they describe as keys to open the doors to the unlimited possibilities in your heart and mind. And this book is $8 plus shipping. And for the links to order these resources and to get more information, you can go to www.parentstooltalk.com/links. That's www.parentstooltalk, all one word, .com/links. And now I'll hand things back over to you, Jody.
Okay, great. Thanks, Chris. It does look like we have some folks who have questions. So if you would, let's check with our 818 area code person first, and then let's check back in on our 919 area code person in case they do have a question. Their hand's been up the whole time, but I don't know if they just couldn't put it down or if they do have a question. So start at the bottom and work your way up there, Chris.
Okay, Jody, we'll start off with the phone number ending in 2420. Hi, welcome to the show. Tell us your name and what's your question? Hello, 2420.
Someone from the 818 area code?
Oh.
Hello, anyone from 818?
Hello? Yeah. I was using a different phone number here. Can you hear me?
Hi. Can you speak up a little bit, caller?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Ah, much better. Thank you.
Yeah, that's
perfect.
Yeah. I was wondering about financial matters. Our daughter is 23. She's still living at home, and she's had problems in managing her financial affairs. She writes checks that are over her balance, and she seems to be unable to keep her balance straight in her accounts. She's kind of impulsive in the way she spends. Is there anything you could recommend in that area?
Good. Were you able to hear that?
Yeah, hi, caller. Just jumping in a little bit.
We all started jumping at the same time.
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to make sure that we all understood the question there. So any recommendations for somebody an adult child who is having trouble with financial responsibility, writing checks that overdraw and similar matters is basically what the question you were asking?
Yes.
And
okay.
I'll let our guest experts, I'll let them answer first, and then I'll put in my two cents worth. Krishna Nandini or Tariq, either of you want to take that question?
Can you hear me?
Yes, there we go.
Okay. When adult children live at home, parents have a right to expect that the children live within their means. I think that we need to be very clear that is our right as parents, that when our children are living in our home, that they live within their means. We've heard some stories. In particular, one parent asked the child that was living with them for their credit cards, and they put them in a freezer in a container of water, and their thinking was that if the purchase was important enough to put on a credit card, then it could wait until the block of ice melted. Now, that might sound funny and humorous, but it's an example of one parent kind of taking charge. And I think our caller that called in sounds a little distraught, but I think the important thing for him to understand that as a parent, he has a right to expect that his child living in his home live within their means. And therefore, they need to have a discussion about how to accomplish that and take some steps that they both can agree on to do that. Tyrick, did you want to add something?
And if you're collecting a rent from her, if she's working, that will have her exercise and responsibility in that range of at least paying for where she's staying, and then reminding her that when she's wasting the money, she could be saving it to where she could have her own place. Sometimes parents don't really charge or have a fee for the child to stay at their home, so therefore they waste money because they just got all this money they can just waste. But if you have some responsibility as a child to pay a rental and for food, and this will help, I'm sure, with how they take care of their finances.
Good. And I'll throw in my two cents worth. We're at just about 5 minutes left in the call. My two cents is to not necessarily, and I agree, first of all, with everything that you said, and what I'd like to tack on to that is to not assume that they know how to budget, that they know how to balance a checkbook. And but something my parents did with me when I was eight, and it's never too late, is to actually sit down. Either, now my parents did it when I was eight, but it was their bills, and I sat down and they showed me how they paid bills and how they would divvy their money and how they would record things. And now they had a whole lot more money in their bank account than I did as a college student. They only balanced their books, their checkbook, when they would write bills, you know, once a month or once every two weeks. So I thought that was enough. Well, I ended up bouncing checks all over the place because I didn't balance as I went along. So little things like that that you would think, you know, come on, don't you know that? Well, you know, no, I really didn't think about that. So don't necessarily assume that they know how to do it. So if we can sit down and just kind of walk them through the process, you know, some people are more mathematically inclined, you know, others are more, you know, so it doesn't come quite as easily to some people as it does to the others. So I think walking them through that in just a very practical, here's how you do it, this is my system, you don't have to do it the way I do it. I know as a college student, I would actually get cash. You know, they didn't have direct deposit back then, and I would actually sit there and I'd count out the dollar bills and I'd put them in envelopes, you know, and I usually didn't have a whole lot left for groceries, so I ate a lot of peanut butter. You know, so however they need to do it, if you can help them establish the habits and the skills and their own routine, then you probably will start to see better management skills around that. Some people don't have a real good financial chip. They didn't get one installed with them in their brain. I think we've only got about 3 more minutes or so. Do we want... I don't know if we have time to check in with our 919 person. Do we want to check in real quick, see if she has a quick question, or if she was just staying on to let us know about her CPUs?
Yes, why don't we check in real quick?
Let's check in real quick with her, because I don't want to miss out if she had a question.
Okay, Robin, we're going to take you off mute. You've been here for the whole show listening very intently, I think, and we just wanted to make sure you didn't have a question that you wanted to ask.
No, I don't have a question. It's been very informative.
Good. All right, thanks so much for staying on the call, Robin.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Krishnanandini and Tariq, we've kind of covered most things. We've covered a lot of information today, and so I encourage everyone to go out and download the show and share that with others, and because I think we really covered a lot of good information. Let's just do a real quick recap for everybody. Our guests today have been Krishnanandini, Devi Dazi, and Tariq Saleem Ziad, and we've been talking about parenting your teen and adult children, and I appreciate all the practical advice that you've given us. If anybody wants to order a copy of the Parents Tool Shop book, they can just go to parentstoolshop.com and just click on the cover, front cover of the book right on the front page, and you can get your book that way. If you want to join our mailing list, you can sign up at parentstooltalk.com/list. And if you want to get the resources, you can. Is that where they get the resources, Chris?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. I was getting confused. And foster parents, remember to send a chat message to check out from the call, and then mail your reminder to questions@parentstooltalk.com for verification of your attendance. Thank you again for joining us today, Krishnanandini and Tariq. Any Final goodbyes?
Yeah, well, Jody, thank you for having us. This is a great topic. The good news is that despite many challenges, both youth make that transition well.
And mothers and fathers, don't forget to read and counsel your children every day, even when they're in the womb.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. We'd love to have you again sometime in the future. Thanks, everyone, for listening to us today. And next month, join us when our topic will be grandparenting. Wish you all a great weekend and a great month to follow. Talk to you next time.